We're going to do a show now. I'm getting pointed at by Amanda. Now I'm hitting the music. Hello, and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net. .net/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll use my magic on you.
Are you flirting with the subscribers?
No, I'm just saying my magic will move them.
You are flirting with them.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that I've got powers to do things to our listeners.
You enchantress, you.
No, that's not it. Never mind. If you're a listener who's ever been debunked, duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes,
what'd you not say?
Shut your face. Welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Will Anderson.
Hello.
Dylan Brody.
I'll be playing the part of Dylan Brody.
There's no accent there. And Jimmy Palombi.
Hey, hello.
That's not an accent either. You know these fuckers from the World of Reason. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hey, with your mess up, our music timed perfectly. You should mess up
so
more often.
So fucking blame me.
Not blaming. I'm saying thank
you're
you.
You're blaming
me. That was
me.
A perfect ending. The timing of the music
now
to
you're
us
running
saying,
over.
Oh, shit. All right, back to commercial. You're listening. No, I'm kidding. So welcome, everybody. Will made it. Will was coming all the way from Venice.
Yeah, I was coming from Venice, and it took me almost as long as it takes to come from Australia.
So, wow, that long.
Where are you staying? Are you staying over with Provenz over there?
No, I'm staying at Jake Johansson's place,
get out of
in
here.
Fact.
Yeah.
And you're renting his front house? Or?
His front house, that's
I love
right.
Jake's house, yeah.
He's
you know, I did his special.
Right, we've done a swap because he's in Australia and New Zealand at the moment because his wife is a New Zealander, so he's doing some shows down there and they're on visit,
cool.
And I'm over here. So, it's
so you can walk around naked.
Right.
In
good.
Venice, does the water go the other way when you flush the toilet?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's it's all exactly like that.
Jimmy Palombi is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one that asks stupid questions.
Hey, that's it.
I want to talk about...
Get back here.
Do you want to talk about what we were talking about before we started the show on air, or should we talk about this after the show?
I'm happy to talk about it on air.
You were doing a podcast, and you actually walked out.
I had to walk off a podcast last night.
Right?
Much the way you
that's
pretended
incredible.
To be doing it just
right?
now. And it was very, it was difficult for me for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because I like to be supremely professional.
Right.
And secondly, because it was an opportunity to talk into a microphone about myself.
Yes, I know how hard it is for you to walk away from that opportunity.
A guy named Carl Kozlowski runs a show called The Cause Effect.
Yeah.
And he asked me to be on. Jimmy Dore was on by phone. I was in the studio.
Love with, Jimmy Dore.
Me too. I was in the studio with Kaz and a young man named Justin...
Bieber.
I don't remember his last name. He's a young comic, and he's lovely. And then coming late to the show was this woman, Alexis Christopher, who was to be sort of representing the conservative point of view. And we were talking about the news. And we were talking about the DOMA decision when she arrived at the studio, and she sat down and said that she didn't feel that gays should be allowed to marry, which already offends me just at a base level. And I did my best to be funny and witty. I did all the material that I have on gay marriage. And I have a lot because, you know, my sister is gay. I love her like a brother. And I feel a real responsibility to talk about the things that bother me the most. And I was trying to actually have a conversation with her. Jimmy Dore just kept laughing regardless of what she was saying.
Right.
And insisted that she was the best character Maria Bamford has ever done.
You know that Provenz thinks that Ann Coulter is just doing a character.
That's very forgiving of him.
Yeah, I know, right?
And she said, you know, I said, who does it hurt if gays get married? And she said, the Catholic Church. And I said that I saw no reason that we should protect the most evil fucking organization that's ever existed
on
the planet.
He was trying to get her to walk out.
I tried to take it point by point, but she got into that circular reasoning thing that people do when they have no rational leg to stand on. And that
why didn't you text me? I would have driven there no matter where I was, and I would have gotten you out of that fucking circle.
Jimmy and I were doing fine. We were debating with her. She was young. She was clearly out of her depth. And we were just having the conversation, and I was fine with that. until Carl decided it was getting out of hand. And rather than saying, okay, you know what?
Let's move on.
Let's move on. You are full of shit. You guys are right. Let's move on. He said, okay, so this is an honest difference of opinion. And once the show is endorsing straight-ahead bigotry as an honest difference of opinion, as a valid opinion, I can no longer, in good conscience, be on that show.
You were shaken by the cause effect.
That's correct.
Was it instinct to get up, or did you sit there and think about it for a little while?
Well, there's, stood up before.
There's the truth, and then there is the damage control that I did with my, the self-publicizing that I did under the guise of damage control in my blog post.
Yeah.
The truth is, I was already really angry. I was already feeling my ability to remain funny slip away. And when Kaz, instead of handling it as I felt he should, legitimized the opinion of homophobes, I wanted to hit him. And
with a microphone.
Well, with anything handy, you know, I don't
with
really.
The girl.
But it is a different. I mean, it actually is a difference of opinion, though.
But it's not a valid difference of opinion.
No, maybe not.
And to give them equal weight on the show, and that's why I'm having to debate it with her. But once the show seems to be endorsing that as an opinion of as valid and a weighty viability as the idea that humans are equal. I lost my mind. So I was angry, and I didn't think I could be funny, and I just wanted to lash out, and I didn't want to be that guy on the air.
Right.
That's why I walked out.
Oh, they would have loved that, though.
That would have played in their hands.
I also enjoyed the idea that Emery is happy to be, like, sort of a phone-a-friend option to end arguments.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, if somebody finds themselves in that nightmarish circular bullshit that is religion or anti-science, if you find yourself in that, please... 818-634-4070. Text me. I will come to where you are, and I will blow the shit out of bad circular arguments.
Andy wears a cape. Blow them?
Yeah,
you'll blow them, then give them the good arguments.
It's a brilliant technique, frankly.
People have
trouble arguing with my mouth around them.
Right.
So you've probably given that show the most ratings it's ever had.
So I walked out on the show, and then I did an apology to any of my fans because they've been promoting the show.
Yeah. Right.
So I went on my website and I did a blog post that said, "I apologize if you listened in and then I left, and it's not right. I don't want to be unprofessional."
My mind is currently running in a circular processing right now, because for the record, if you are on a show and your fans
are listening, there's a record?
Yes, there is a record of everything. Do you not know of the internet? I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah.
For the record, here's the deal. If your fans tuned in and you got pissed and walked out, they got a better show than if you had stayed the extra 30 minutes,
true,
in my opinion,
true.
Because that is a fucking statement, number one. Number two, if you had chosen to stay, you are, in my opinion, doing the argument a disservice if that's your position. In other words, the position that the show is considering this absolutely bullshit bunk argument as valid as the other position. That's obviously what you said it is. If you're keeping your fans there, you're not doing your fans or that show. You're doing that show a service and not your fans. So I think you did the right thing, perhaps.
Well, thank you. A lot of people have gotten in touch with me saying that I did the right thing, and I'm beginning to suspect that I did.
Yeah, don't be such a fag about it.
But after the, hey.
Thanks.
Hey.
I just wrote that in my head, and then
wow.
I said it.
Wow.
That's
it's
what I do.
It's on the record, too.
Yeah. It's on the record. I wrote
that in your head, because it was so well crafted.
Shut up. Shut up. God damn it. I'm being heckled by a wordsmith. I want to go with where Jimmy was going on this. I didn't know we were going to talk about this. I'm very excited.
Nor did I.
This I love this.
The second appearance I've done today where I didn't know I was going to be talking about this.
In a matter of time, you're going to be walking out of the show. Don't worry about it.
I knew.
So
if it goes really well, you'll be walking out of everything from now on.
Yeah.
That's right.
That'll be your big.
Oh, he's
your
new hook.
He's the walkout guy.
Can we get Dylan Brody? No, we don't have to book him for the whole show.
He'll cover 10 minutes. We'll piss him off.
You pay him extra, he'll walk out just a little bit later.
So, Jimmy, you don't. If I sense what you were saying earlier, and I know you tend to be a contrarian for comedic purposes, but it seems like you don't quite agree that Dylan. Were you saying that the show wasn't endorsing that position based on what you heard from Dylan?
Well, just from the little information, it's hard to tell, but the fact of, well, yes, it is a difference of opinion.
Right.
So.
In other words, that's a valid thing for Kaz to have said?
Well, it, it it's a difference of opinion that they were right in saying that. It wasn't, I think it was, you know, there's nothing wrong with that actual statement because that's what's going on.
Well, no, because the arguments she had put forth were the anti-science arguments that we keep hearing. And I don't believe claiming that science is wrong and the Bible is right is a difference of opinion.
Well, but it is. It actually is.
No, it actually isn't.
It's just fucking wrong.
It is actually a denial of fact in favor of fantasy.
Which is an opinion.
Okay, well, get in here. Now, you, sir, you're
I'm not
Australia.
Agreeing with it. I'm just saying, you know, that it's...
I think you're right in saying... Well, I will agree with that. I think you're right in saying it's definitely a difference of opinion. It's just that one person's opinion is, like, full of shit and the
right.
other person's opinion is not.
You're right,
But that is definitely different. Mm-hmm. Like, they're different opinions.
The people who hold the opinion that lady held
yes.
would say the same thing alternately. In other words, that our position, I presume everybody at this table... It's funny, we're having trouble with the wires.
I had no idea what we were doing. I was just helping to point here.
Lift your chair over the carpet. See, whose idea was it to put carpet
here? Yeah, why'd we put carpet here?
Yeah, there we go.
Listen, the position, that woman's position is that we are wrong, too. You know what I mean?
Right. But her position is based on utter bullshit.
We all agree with that.
And to my mind... When a discussion is happening and one person is coming up with legitimate, scientifically proven arguments,
yeah.
and the other person is running in circles to justify their bigotry,
mm-hmm.
that is no longer a difference of opinion. That is now simply a yelling match between the forces of light and the forces that created the Dark Ages.
You think she truly believed, or she was just following suit of what, you know, the Catholics believe?
She believes it.
Oh, I think she believes it.
Yeah.
I think she utterly believes it. I think that's why she was so vehement about it and so unable to see that she was talking in circles. I think if you don't believe it, eventually you just go, oh,
well,
wait, I got
right.
that wrong.
Yeah.
Did you ever have anything wrong? I mean, I've had things wrong. I used to be a Christian. You know, were you ever a Christian? Did I ask you that on the other show?
For many years, I believed that thunder was the sound of clouds bumping together.
You believe that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. No. Well, no. Because my family aren't religious. Like, because that's the weird thing about coming to this country yeah. is that I come from the least religious country in the entire world.
Yeah.
To like one of the most religious. So yeah. you do have these debates where people go. I mean, the thing that I find so fascinating about this country is no matter what you think about his politics, you listen to someone like Obama speak, and like a lot of the things that he says, you go, well, at least he's smart, and at least he's thought through this sentence, and he at least seems to have thought about this policy. And then at the end he just goes, oh, by the way, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, I love Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Every time.
How can I believe everything else you said when you're finishing it off with, oh, by the way, we all believe in this thing, right?
And Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this country, I mean, we just got rid of, we had an atheist prime minister in Australia who we just got rid of again while I was away.
She ended up on the wrong side of the gay argument, right?
Well, the thing that people didn't
and she, well, go
the
ahead.
Thing that people didn't get about Julia Gillard, who was our prime minister who just got replaced, was that her policies didn't suit her lifestyle. So here was a woman who was unmarried, she's an atheist, and she was living in like a you know, our version of the White House, the Lodge, with
her. Is it really called the Lodge?
It's called the Lodge.
Oh, I love that. And,
it's a mansion, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mansion.
It's a station wagon.
It's not like a log cabin.
Yeah, no, it's not a
motel.
Cabin with good skiing.
But she's living there with her boyfriend, right, and has been living there while she was prime minister with her boyfriend, and yet she wouldn't allow gay people to get married. And what people didn't get about that was we get why the people who believe in the Bible and it says that you can't be gay, even though we know, well, we think that is not right, we get at least why they're gone. We read that and we've interpreted that and this is what we believe. But people couldn't understand why an unmarried atheist living with her boyfriend in the lodge is like, right. Oh, but gay people still can't get That's, married. That makes no sense.
And it didn't seem like a political move either because it wasn't popular, I mean, for her to have that opinion either.
It was a terrible yeah. move.
At least
like,
she
did
religious.
That stupid thing that sometimes left-wing parties do in the world now. And when I say left-wing, I mean only in comparison to the right-wing party they're mostly similar right, to right. in most cases.
Right.
They did that thing of going, you know how we could get people to vote for us? Appealing to the right. type of people who would never vote for us.
It's amazing to me.
Right.
It's amazing. I don't feel like representation is what's happening at all.
No.
And it's not. It's not, right? Has it ever? It's never been.
No. Have you heard my piece, Democracy 101? I deal with...
If I have, it's been a while.
Our entire political system is set up as a mentalist's trick.
Okay.
You know, you guys choose between the king of spades and the king of clubs, and you guys choose between the king of diamonds and the king of hearts. And then we feel like we all have freedom because we chose the king of diamonds and the king of spades, and then we chose the king of diamonds. And then we spend 4 years going, oh, he's too diamondy.
They prefer to be called black.
Oh, he's too No one ever gets around to saying, oh, he might be too kingy.
Right. South Park covered this, actually, when it comes to war. We'll talk about that when we're back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
Good news, everyone.
That was quiet. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour for free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. That's right, $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. Depending on how old you are, it's pretty likely you have eyelash mites. Take that, microphobe.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Will Anderson, Dylan Brody, and Jimmy Palombi. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hello, guys. Thanks for being here.
What's wrong with your mouth?
I don't know what happened. I think I might have had a stroke. Did you ever see that video of the woman that was doing a newscast thing? She totally just did that thing and had it seemed like she was having a stroke.
Oh, the linguistic aphasia deal.
Yes. Yes. She was talking and trying to describe and started
mumbling. She was on the microphone saying,
we're going to go with the tumsmargen. It was really awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. But what were we talking about?
She's now fired.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about how your country's all fucked up.
Oh, no, it's fine now because we've got a new prime minister again now. So,
is it an atheist man living with a gay man? And
right, that's what happened.
And a goat.
Well, you know the weird thing is that what happened basically was the same thing that happened in America. Whereas, like, even if the people, what I felt like happened with Obama was that no matter what people were arguing about Obama, that they would use race in the argument, even if it wasn't a racial argument.
Sure.
They used the fact that he was black to put down, even if they had a legitimate gripe about him.
Right.
And that happened with Julia Gillard in Australia was because she was a woman, even if they were criticizing her based on some policy thing, there was this misogyny that came into the criticism. So it wasn't the proudest moment, unfortunately.
That's a drag.
Yeah.
First female prime minister?
First female prime minister.
First, okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Not in the world.
No.
But of
no.
Australia.
We've of had, Australia.
Yeah, I think we had.
We were the second
Margaret
place
Thatcher.
In the world to give women the vote.
Female, they said.
You were the second place?
Second place, I believe, behind New Zealand.
You were saying, has it always been like this in America, that we don't have that much of a choice? When you look back at our history, it was designed so that we would never have that much of a choice. Do you know what the percentage of adult human beings in America was that was allowed to vote when the Constitution was signed?
24.
Lower. 5%.
5%.
White, male, Christian property owners.
Really?
That's who got the vote.
So if you didn't own property, you were screwed.
Then you weren't paying taxes. Why should you? No, you don't.
Gotcha.
You don't get any say. So we had this huge population of adult human beings. 5% of them got to vote, and we said it's government of the people. It was always designed as it grew out of feudalism and was designed to maintain that essential grip while creating a slightly looser economic structure that creates the illusion of upward mobility.
Well, now I know this country sucks. Thanks. Thanks for clearing it up.
Well, read Howard's Inn. Read Howard's Inn and then feel suicidal for a week.
I want to talk about something that came across my Facebook page. I think Herbert maybe posted this.
Good old Herbert Reagan.
Yeah. This blew me away. There is apparently a statue. Did you guys see the link I sent?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to run this right now. We can talk because there's no audio associated with it. But the camera that is trained on the store actually captured this statue, which is apparently...
It's a time-lapse of a bunch of pictures.
It's a time-lapse, right. And it you can see in the upper right-hand corner, it's over many days, this statue spins. It only spins when people are in the store. It doesn't spin
only in the daytime, they say.
Yeah, only
during
in the
sun.
Yeah.
Right. And so what
the statue's like Superman. It gets its powers from our hot sun.
That's right.
What bothered me about this story altogether was how the press covers this shit just makes me crazy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, it is proof of something supernatural or people walking past.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, it was, what's his name? Brian Cox, the physicist. Is it Brian Cox? Who knows his name?
It's an actor.
No. I'll look it up.
Professor Brian Cox, I think.
Brian Cox, right?
I think that's his name.
He's a British guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy that actually...
You're just being agreeable, aren't you? You have no idea who he's
no,
talking
I
about.
No, I believe that this is actually right.
Okay.
But that said, I
got something right.
I am very agreeable.
You seem agreeable.
Quite a lot of the time when Americans get involved in shit they shouldn't belong in, Australians are like, we'll come. Like Afghanistan.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
And we also know not to have a difference of opinion with you. So,
you know, with your comedy jokes, we've all sidestepped the fact that I had something right. I'd like to point that out. It is Brian Cox. Thank you very
well
much.
Well done, sir.
I just like the name.
And I was right in supporting that.
And I was wrong to mock you.
Walk out. Come on. Walk out.
I can't wait. I'm waiting to see when Dylan's going to walk out. Cox was the guy who stepped forward and said, this is easily explainable. And some other people actually investigated it and found that there are screws on the bottom of the board. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just like these other things are just sitting there on their own granite. So that doesn't turn as easily when things are vibrated. When you're mounting something on 4, 5, or 6 screws, the
screws vibrating. Oh yeah,
mounting.
Yeah,
mismounting.
And, damn it!
The vibrations is what are what was turning it. And when you read the articles about this, they even, as a little side mention,
at the very end,
they mention at the end of the article that there is a physical explanation for it. But the article really is just about the mysterious thing.
Could
that's
these ancient giant monuments have been built by ancient giants tonight on wild speculation?
It's they should have a page in the newspaper that is just called "Here's What Idiots Thought." And they should describe like normal things. So the story should be, hey, there's a shop, and because of the vibration of the people on the floor and the fact that it was on screws, the statue turned around. Here's what some idiots thought was going on.
Well, the video has gone viral, so I'm sure there's all sorts of paranormal explanations.
See, that's what happens.
YouTube. See this splotch on a waffle that looks a little like a penguin, and then if you turn it a little differently, it looks like an elephant? Well, if you turn it this way, some people can find the Holy Mother in it.
Yeah,
And therefore, they think, yeah.
Some people find jam.
Yeah. Yes, if added. More of us, at least in this country, believe the bullshit. Then are interested in the reality. And for the record, I am amazed when the explanation turns up. I find that as awesome and as cool and as interesting. So funny. Why is he taking his pen? I find that amazing. You're trying to get him to walk out. Will's making some notes.
I think he was not mocking the fact that I had a four-color pen.
I kind of was.
The four-color pen rocks. Who doesn't love the four-color pen?
I like it.
Remember when they made them this big? The whole...
Yeah, that was too many colors. Yeah. That was like the United Nations of pens.
It was.
It seemed like a good idea, but it was impractical, much like the United Nations.
Then we have the primary colors.
Now I'm curious about what
there.
Joke I gave you.
Here's what idiots
thought. It was his own premise. Yeah.
Next year, tune in for my Comedy Central special, which will be called "Here's What Idiots Thought." This very is nice. The
origin. Tonight on Wild Speculation.
Yeah, I think this is a worldwide thing. I definitely experienced. I definitely met people when I went to London and when I was in Edinburgh who fall for this kind of bullshit too and talk about this kind of bullshit.
There is such a powerful anti-intellectual
force, yeah,
and influence in the United States, though, and we so thoroughly control the vast majority of the media.
You and me?
Pretty much globally.
Yeah.
I didn't get the memo on this.
We as a nation.
Here's what idiots thought.
My girlfriend just called me an idiot in front of everybody listening.
the people who create what goes out to the world do not acknowledge, refuse to acknowledge that when you say something loudly over the television and radio over and over again, it has an influence.
Yeah.
As soon as you, well, it's just entertainment. Well, you keep saying it like it means something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything, where it's just entertainment. Well, you keep saying it.
Well, the politicians and those who are trying to sell things, I think they do know what they're doing. I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
It's not an accident. And I don't, and listen, I'm not calling it a conspiracy. It's just motivated by money and power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No? A little... we have our conspiracy, our in-house conspiracy buff sitting over here.
The human mind is hardwired. The brain is hardwired to look for danger. Yeah. So we're stimulated by fear.
Wired.
This show's going right in the shit.
Stimulated by fear.
I'm so disappointed when you did that thing about somebody. Now I can't even remember what it was.
What did I do?
But it was Brian Cox.
No, it wasn't Brian Cox. But it was something.
I love Cox
coming all over your face, and I let it go.
Coming on his Facebook page. I did it too. I'm like, really? They went nowhere with that. Nothing.
Why would you let that go? Do you not know where you are?
Well, I didn't realize it was going to descend into it.
It's Emery's teen roundtable here tonight.
Oh, the show is spiraling downward like Larry Flynt at the Guggenheim, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's a joke. I will do any chance I can.
And this is the reason Dylan has never walked out on my show.
Is the problem that we don't make the truth exciting enough for people?
That is part of the problem. Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's easy. It's nicer to believe the idea that there's like some ghost moving it around, or that something magical is happening, that you know you can talk to.
Yeah, people need that. They want that in their life. They want that.
Because we don't make the actual explanation of what is happening fascinating to people at all. If we did, like, I mean, that's the great advantage, I think, you know, particularly early on, you know, when I really enjoyed Richard Dawkins' writing, was that when he was explaining science and how things worked in a way that made it seem magical in the same way as magic seems magical.
Yeah.
The Science Channel is pretty good at that, but the History Channel, not so much.
It may be a way for all of us to just latch on and hold on to our childhood, you know, when everything, there was a lot of magic in your life.
Right.
So as an adult, you kind of, I think, even subconsciously gravitate towards something that might be supernatural or something, you know, magical.
Even the magic from my childhood, I have come to realize, was explainable.
Well, now, of course.
Well, now, yeah.
Sure.
But at the time, there's a certain innocence that maybe we're, like I said, even subconsciously trying to capture with stuff.
Well, you like hanging on to the magic a little bit, right?
I do. That's why I wear these pants.
You're not the skeptic I am, right?
No, I wouldn't say so, no, because I, no.
Just going to leave it at that. Do you believe in psychics? Do you believe... What is something... I can never corner
like
you
pie.
On any of this. You always say,
like
I like pie. Come on, give me something
here.
Because I know you're a little, you know...
Well, sometimes to me, fervent skepticism is kind of closed-minded.
Kind of closed-minded?
He's backing
Relax.
Up.
Relax, come back in.
You going to punch a memory?
Listen,
I'm open to the idea of things, let's just say, magical, but I question everything.
Okay.
You know, I've got that, you know, I don't, yeah.
Let's
Are
talk
you sad
about
that.
No.
Let's talk about Andy Kaufman, someone you and I both love dearly. His work as a human being, he seemed like an amazing person. You know who Kaufman was, obviously.
Yes.
Andy Kaufman. And for the record,
and I'm not just being agreeable.
For the record, Jimmy Palombi performed as Andy Kaufman on a show. I was performing. Who was I on that?
You
show?
You were Hitler.
You were Red Fox.
No, I did Red Fox on that show. And Palombi does an amazing Kaufman. I mean, just fucking, you got to be, I mean, it's really awesome. And that's when I met Jimmy, Andy. That's when I met them both. And he, like you, he had that wonderment in the magic, you know, when you read about him, when you talk to people who knew him. And tragically, he spent some of his time traveling internationally to try and go get his cancer pulled out by a fucking charlatan. Right. That's a true story that's in the movie.
Right. But again, the reasons he went and why he went is still questionable.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, I know Bob a little bit. I talked to him a little bit about stuff. And Andy's girlfriend at the time. And
was that Elaine?
Yeah. There's still a... I mean, yeah. You never really knew. You never really knew where it ended and where it didn't end.
Right.
So even the whole story...
So when you talk to people who knew him intrapersonally... They suggest that he didn't necessarily presume when he got there there would be a magic.
They're not committal
man
in any way.
They're not committal. Well, that's yeah. He that's because they had that. What?
He may have been interested in showmanship.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. That's a drag. Oh, email. Why? I have an email.
No. You need to email your lawyer. Email your lawyer right now.
All right.
You
must. All right. Cool.
It's time for a break.
Do I have to email my lawyer because you're going to walk out on my show?
That could be a betting game. You know, what time does he walk? They put money down in. I've got half past the hour.
The wall probably has a pool going right now. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now. So go check it out, www.ardentatheist.com. The average person farts 14 times per day. You got 2 minutes to clear out a room. Get going.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Will Anderson, Dylan Brody, and Jimmy Palombi. Dylan Brody, just for now, we don't know what's going to happen.
I have no reason to walk off the show.
You know what I didn't get to the bottom of when I asked you about this?
Yeah.
How did you walk off? I mean, did you say, fuck you, I'm out of here, you're an idiot, I hate you?
No, I leaned into the microphone because I knew Jimmy wasn't in the room and couldn't see what was happening.
And when did it happen, too, by the way?
It was very late in the show. It was, I don't know, it was an hour-long show, and it was probably 47 and a half, 47 and a quarter. I leaned into the microphone.
I'm going to love it if he goes, I'll lean into the microphone. And I said, I got diarrhea. And then just walked away.
No, I said, Jimmy, I'm walking off the set now. And
you said that?
And left. Yeah.
Nice.
Because I didn't want him, you know.
See, now I want to hear the show from that point on.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to hear what that woman
Jimmy
said.
Called me last night to after I had gotten home to say, you were brilliant, which was great to hear from Jimmy. And then, did you leave before or after I hung up the phone? Apparently, he ditched a minute later.
Right, right.
So I was not alone in feeling that it was inappropriate.
I don't know, Kaz. I mean, was Kaz upset with him?
Kaz was upset with himself.
Yeah?
Kaz called me today with something that was very close to the same thing as an apology. Something that was remarkably similar to a mea culpa,
right.
But took much longer.
Yeah.
And I told him to breathe and that it was fine, you know, that his career is neither harmed nor aided by the one podcast that upset me.
I've got to be honest with you, it sparked a bit of interest from me. And I had, none before this. So I feel like it's been good for him.
Yeah, it's been good for him. All right, I'll tell him that.
It's been very well.
I'll let him know.
Would you think it would have been more effective to give a reason you were leaving? Or you think everyone got that?
You know what? First of all, I think everybody got it, but...
He did just give a reason. If you'd like to know why Dylan walked off the show, listen to episode 44 of Skeptically Yours.
A reason went at the show.
At the time, and this is the thing that I now have to work through in therapy tomorrow, I wasn't walking out for any really noble reasons. I wasn't clear really on why I was walking out. All I knew is that I was too pissed to feel as though I was performing.
Right.
Yeah. I was now just an angry guy with a microphone, and that's not how I want to present in the world. And I'm not allowed to just hit people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can.
I'm really not allowed.
An old road comic friend of mine came on my show, and we were friends for years, and passing, you know what I mean? We'd work gigs together, had a great time every time I hung out with him, and then I found out he's in L.A., I found out he's a Christian, and I invited him on Ardent Atheist to discuss those things. And we got into the gay marriage thing, and he made the awful mistake of going down that road of what's next, animals. Oh. And I'm a ranter. I rant, especially when performing on the show here. I tend not to rant when we're, I don't know, do I? Maybe I rant when I'm just talking to friends. But it really upset him. Nick Arnett, do you know Nick?
I don't know Nick.
Nick Arnett, he's a road comic mostly. He doesn't really do the L.A. scene, I don't think, much. But he's a Christian, and an avid Christian. But when he went down that road, I just cornered him with reality, and...
pissed him off.
It upset him. I mean, afterwards, what he said was, he goes, well, you do this for a living. You know, you sit at that microphone dismantling belief systems. That's what you do. So you're more equipped to have that argument. And I'm like, dude, if you're going to live your life on an oppressive ideal, then fucking defend it. Be able to defend it, either logically, philosophically, in some way be able to defend it.
We all understand what you believe.
I mean, we all know that slippery slope fallacy is a fallacy, that, you know, like, what next? You know, they'll, like, marry their toaster and have sex with their toaster. And
I take it the other way.
Have sex with the toaster and the dog and the...
If you're gonna,
You know.
If you're going to make that argument, I want you to come back to this, but if you're going to make that argument, you have to go both ways, too. In other words, the whole reason that gays are getting married
is because...
You have
to sleep with male and female toasters.
No. is because of the marriage system that the Christians stake a claim to. Had you not invented marriage, gays wouldn't be getting married today. There's your fucking mathematics on the other side of it. So fuck off. You can either abolish your own marriage if you don't want fags getting married, and then people marrying animals, and then Will marrying my toaster.
Not your toaster. Yeah. That would be a problem.
I have a sexy fucking toaster, you asshole.
Okay, firstly, if you do
marry... It's got
marry
four holes in it.
Oh, yeah.
Your toaster told him.
If you do marry a toaster, is it inappropriate to ask for a toaster on a wedding registry? I'm going to have to write that one down.
Yeah, no kidding.
Write it down.
I can't believe I interrupted that joke from my backwards.
But in Australia, there's a guy called Corey Bernardi. Now, he's a senator and he'll be in the next government, but he's already in the Senate.
Okay.
And he is kind of your main proponent of your, you know, what's next argument. But his argument was this, and this is because he did the whole, you know, people will marry their dogs. But then it logically went a bizarre step further, because he said there's already people out there who are having sex with dogs. And if gay people are allowed to get married, then these people might demand the right to then marry those dogs they're having sex with. And what world do you live in where you're fine with someone fucking their dog, but you think it's weird if they then want to marry that dog?
Yeah.
And you have to remember, when you sleep...
That's better. That's slightly better. I don't endorse either, but that is slightly better.
When you sleep with a dog, you're not just sleeping with a dog. No. You're sleeping with every dog that dog has ever slept with.
Right. Yes. At least you're not down at the dog park like, I'll have her, all my bitches. That's real term. That's not a real term.
That's one of my big issues with the whole anti-gay marriage thing, is that they say... The people who are now offended by the idea of gay marriage are the ones who 20 years ago kept saying the problem with gays is that they're too promiscuous.
Right. Yeah.
So my theory is you can't please bigots.
Yeah, you cannot please bigots.
Well, that's the problem is people come up with the bigotry first and then they find the arguments to justify it. It's not a logical step where they go, oh, okay, here's my argument, that's why I believe this. Yeah. They work back the other way. They go, I believe whatever there is about me, and it's mostly I don't like the idea of it men makes, having sex with other men.
I
Let's
think
be
about
honest.
That, it makes me go, right? I don't want
to. And so then they backdate it, finding arguments to justify the stupid position they have, not the other way around. They don't compile the evidence and then make their decision. That's the difference in the way the logic
I'm
works.
Convinced that conservatives are just obsessed with outlawing everything that makes them come.
Right.
That's what I think the problem is. They're the ones that come up with these fucking nutty right. scenarios.
Well, anything- I often feel like the things that make them come are not the things that make us come.
No,
though.
They're not.
You know?
Absolutely worse. Not.
Right, yeah.
I don't know, when you slide that rye bread slowly down that slot, it heats up. It gets all brown. All right, I'm okay.
I want to know some magic.
That is clearly a guy who's never fucked a toaster.
Yeah, no
you,
kidding.
You would not put it on high. You would put it on defrost. It would be a gentle heat. Not you wouldn't want that full. Seriously, man.
Wow. I can't believe how far you're coming out of the pantry tonight. I've not known Will long, but I've learned a little more about him.
Well, I will not tell you about my yeast infection. All right, we're done. We're done with the dead buns. We're done. I am walking out on myself.
I would pay dough for that, Joe.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck oh, no. me. All right.
So now funny. They're on the wall talking about bestiality.
Yeah, that's where it always goes.
Right.
Bestiality. Yes. Bestiality was on the show last week.
Yes. Well, it was on Ardent Atheist last.
Yeah, I confused the shows. They all run together for me.
All well, right. They're so different in premise and structure.
Yes, they are.
I get it.
Well, the other one, I sit there.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Who here knows who Sam Harris is?
A singer? Yeah. Was he a singer?
No. Sam Harris.
Sam Harris, he wrote a great book called Letter to the Christian Nation.
Yeah.
And
he's
also written a great book of Free Will.
Yes.
Is that the...
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a Sam Harris,
has
right?
nothing to do with Will. It has everything to do with the lie that is free will. Now, I was stunned when I came across the Sam Harris position. It's so brilliant. It's so well-supported.
Oh, I've done the Sam Harris position.
Yeah.
It is well-supported.
Right.
I need to learn that.
That's what my toaster and I did on our honeymoon. We consummated our relationship in the Sam Harris position. And she said, would you like to for me to insert my Professor Brian Cox?
Hurry up, I gotta get back. My mom's gonna worry.
If you'll excuse me, I have to go home and undie my wife.
Yes, I'm sure. Free will is an argument that's used by the religious to support a lot of bullshit ideas, actually, frankly. But that's not really what this is about. What he's talking about in this, and for the record, I want to be clear on this too. Sam Harris is not necessarily an atheist. I think he holds some Buddhist ideals. He definitely talks about. A soul on occasion, you know what I mean? And he doesn't talk like he believes in a soul, but when he does presentations, sometimes he will talk about how if you believe in a soul, even this will apply here and that sort of thing. So he makes concessions in his presentations for those who do believe. It's pretty beautiful. But he's talking about free will in a way that absolutely blew my mind, and we're going to play a clip here, and then we'll talk about it. That should have gone.
Now, this isn't Sam Harris talking.
Oh, wait.
This isn't anybody talking.
Hold on.
I hear nothing.
My apologies. No, my apologies. I did not cue up the right thing. Everybody, my apologies. Here
is
we go.
Is someone talking about Sam Harris?
No. That was the introduction. Here we are. Here's Sam
Harris. Emery. I heard Emery.
Of course, this is a problem that scientists and philosophers are well aware of, and many people think they have arguments that allow us to keep free will in play, even in light of these facts. And I'll talk about some of those. But I want to suggest to you that the problem of free will is actually deeper than this, is deeper than the problem of cause and effect. And most people think that we have a subjective experience of free will, but it can't be mapped onto physical reality. Now, I'm about to argue that free will doesn't even correspond to any subjective fact about us. And if you pay attention to your experience closely, you can notice this. If you pay attention, you can see that you no more decide the next thing you think than the next thing I say. Thoughts simply appear in consciousness. Very much like my words. What are you going to think next? So what am I going to say next? I could suddenly start talking about the pleasures of snowshoeing. You know, where did that come from? From your point of view, it came out of nowhere. But the same thing is happening in the privacy of your own mind. You've all made an effort to be here and to stay this extra hour to hear, presumably to hear what I have to say about free will. But there's also a voice in your head that is just saying things.
Okay. So now what Sam Harris, he gets to an argument, which I'll cue up in a minute. And nobody probably got the chance to take a look at his speech. Or have you read the book already?
I've read the book.
So you know what he's talking about. We'll make it clear. You and I will make it clear. One of the things that he does, and he does magically, is he illustrates how he gets into the psychopath, the killer, right? It's a really great example of how free will is actually something that is kind of an illusion, because if you were to, and I'm trying to remember his words as best I can, atom for atom, change me into a psychopath who had killed before, I couldn't in any way stop the process that led up to that guy's eventual murderous rampage. You know what I mean? And in other words, what informs what we are is everything that's come before. And we really don't have any control over nearly all of those things that happened to us before.
I was trying to explain that to someone on my wall today, and he just kept going to the, well, it's free will. I'm free to do whatever I want. I can stand up or I can sit down. I can ride a motorcycle. And I kept trying to say, that's not free will exactly.
Right.
Where we can exert a modicum of free will, I think, is over the long term. And this is really the premise of cognitive therapy, of modern views of psychoanalysis, is that if there are it is not only uncontrollable, the mind, it is just uncontrollable on the moment-to-moment basis. You can train it into new habits over time.
We all know this. That's not an option.
Right. If we truly are the sum of all our experiences, then you have the choice in, you know, creating new experiences and putting yourself in new situations so that when you're confronted with a situation, you can then, you know... So over a long term, you can say, all right, well, I'm going to learn this language, or I'm going to go and, you know, develop this skill, or I'm going to stop biting my finger, or whatever it is. You can develop the skills or, you know, put that in your grab bag. But on the other side of it, like, you know, we know so many people in our lives. I don't know if anyone ever watches that TV show Intervention, but it becomes like the first half of it is like one of the most fun shows you'll ever see in your life.
I cannot stop watching that show. I watch it for hours on end. I cannot stop.
Well, so I see what he's doing.
It's everything about...
I'm not taking this. I'm out of here.
Yeah. But it's everything about life is in that show, because at the start you're like, why is this woman only eating through a tube in her stomach? This is the most ridiculous thing ever. And then halfway through the show, there's always that moment where they're like, she was molested by her uncle and her dad would never talk about it.
Of course.
I have the same experience when I watch Hoarders.
Right.
It's always the same mathematical equation that leads to this person who's done this awful filling of the home.
Her husband died. She never could reconcile something. Yeah.
And you can see
the
damage.
I have 500 copies of Hoarders on my DVR. I cannot erase them.
Oh my God.
Those are perfectly good episodes.
It's the same joke.
Those again.
I call shenanigans on you, sir.
I thought it was... No, it was a build.
It was a build.
I thought it was kind of a callback.
Would you stop being so fucking agreeable, Will?
We need to take a break.
Do we? All right. More about this, because I want to talk more about this, because basically that confirms the argument is what you're getting at. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I just thought it was an interesting argument. I'm not sure that I necessarily believed or... But I like that anyway. I like to be challenged by, you know, what I believe and kind of... Because I'm a person who... Anyway, let's talk about it after.
You can't help whether you believe it or not. That's... It's everything... Everything previous to this has led to you not believing it, or to believe. I don't know what I'm saying anyway.
Just talk more about toasters later.
You're listening to Skeptical Yours on SkepticalYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to the listeners. Adinikov, Snake Oil, Amira, Kyle Delaney, Wendy, Sarah Mayhew, Stan, Qbert, Wheezy, LeGyver, Travis Roy, Kaway.
What?
Kaway.
Kaway.
Kawea.
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 K-A-W-E-A-H.
I'm sorry, I'm ripping your name apart. Bacon Jew Kramer.
That's BJ.
USC Waller, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. These were some of the screen names of the people chatting in the Skeptic Tank last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
That's right.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Skeptical Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Will Anderson, Dylan Brody, and Jimmy Palombi, three people who really had no choice. They were going to get here eventually. It was just something that was laid out. And by the way, let's be clear also. I don't think, and I certainly didn't take away his presentation. I didn't read the book. I only saw the presentation. I didn't take away from Sam's presentation that we don't have choices and that we don't make choices. I think that's what people misunderstand
about this idea is. And I was just, I mean, we were saying in the break, but I was saying it's like you've got all these ingredients in your life that you've made into this one meal, but that doesn't mean that it's the only meal that you could make with those ingredients.
That's
like you
exactly
get to
right.
points where you go, well, I take all the things that I have and I'm at this point, and clearly all those influences, you know, it might be who my parents were, or what the relationship they had, or where I went to school, or, you know, the food that I eat, or what I put into my life. All those things obviously combine into this moment where it might be that I'm stressed and I'm in traffic and I'm making a shittier decision than I would normally make because suddenly I'm a little bit more angry. Like, I mean, I get all that. But right. I also think that in a long-term sense, some people use this argument to say, well, it's all preordained. Why do I even bother?
It, which is not... Kinda, it dovetails into
because
the religious.
That's its own.
Of, you know, it's all, you know... God has a plan. Everything happens for a reason. You know?
Well, it's another show altogether and a whole show unto itself. The whole idea that free will... you can't have free will and God having a plan, by the way. It's just that those two things are completely dichotomous. That is negative, and that's antimatter and matter put together. Here is a little excerpt I took out. It's a couple of minutes of Sam Harris, really, I think, encompassing the argument completely and well. Sam Kramer, who's visiting and looking at the video changing for us, and she's going to be watching this because she was taking exception with the idea. So we'll have you jump on a mic if you want to, Sam. Don't hesitate. Here we go.
Now, the problem is no one has been able to describe a way in which mental and physical events could arise that would make sense of this claim of freedom. Now, when we assume that violent criminals have such freedom, of course, we reflexively blame them for their actions. But when we look at this wider net of causality, the basis for placing blame seems to evaporate. The moment we catch sight of a stream of causes that reach back into childhood and beyond,
like on Hoarders,
sense of his culpability begins to disappear. And to say that he would have done otherwise,
the killer,
or could have done otherwise had he chosen to, is simply to say he would have lived in a different universe had he been in a different universe. Now, as sickening as I might find such a person's behavior, I have to admit that if I were to trade places with him, atom for atom, I would be him. There's no extra part of me that could resist the impulse to victimize innocent people. And even if you believe that every one of us harbors an immortal soul, this problem of responsibility remains. I cannot take credit for the fact that I don't have the soul of a psychopath. So if I had truly been in this person's shoes, if I had his genes and life experience and an identical brain or an identical soul in an identical state, I would have behaved as he did, and for the same reasons.
What a dick.
If he'd been in his jeans and his shoes.
Right. Sam Harris Nobody must have really hated the movie Sliding Doors.
Or the society into which they were born. Nobody picks the life influences that shape the development of their nervous system. You are no more responsible for the microstructure of your brain at this moment than you are for your height. So the role of luck in our lives appears decisive. One has to be very unlucky to have the mind and brain of a psychopath. Now, but the significance of luck is very difficult to admit because it seems to totally destabilize our sense of morality. And yet, in specific circumstances, it's very easy to admit. So if you imagine this murderer was discovered to have a brain tumor in the appropriate spot in his brain that would explain his violent impulses, well, then that is obviously exculpatory. Then he is just a victim, or we view him as a victim of biology, and our moral intuitions shift automatically. But I would argue that a brain tumor is just a special case of physical events giving rise to thoughts and actions. And if we fully understood the neurophysiology of any murderer's brain, that would be as exculpatory as finding a tumor in it. If we could see how the wrong genes were being relentlessly transcribed, if we could see how this person's genome and entanglement with other people and ideas and events throughout life had sculpted the microstructure of his brain so that it was guaranteed to produce violent states of mind and violent behavior, the basis for placing blame in the sense that we usually do would disappear.
See, that blows me away. That's what blows me away. His
Can
argument.
You paraphrase it.
Well, his argument is first of all, it's not the one that I think Sam heard earlier. He's not trying to suggest that we don't have choices, and he gets into that actually. And I know the book
right.
covers that too.
But it does. I think to people just hearing a snippet of it, it can sound like that is what he's saying.
The
right,
argument right. is the hell of it is they have their reasons.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what blew my mind is with really solid arguments, he's what blew my mind was
your mind is just blown.
We do switch something in our brain when we find out that a murderer had a brain tumor and that brain tumor is in a place that causes violent behaviors, right? We do. It never occurred to me to actually consider the possibility that we should look at genes and circumstances when we start judging people for various things. That's really all I'm getting at. That's what blew my mind.
That's why you needed this argument.
What do you mean?
To find compassion. That's why you needed this argument.
Are you suggesting I have no compassion?
No.
No, that's what it sounds like you're suggesting. I'm not joking. Are you suggesting
that? No, to find empathy. I feel like that's why your mind is blown, because it's given you some insight that...
Well, it's expanded empathy beyond a brain tumor.
We should... Yeah, absolutely. We should be clear, though. I think that Sam thinks... I talked about 9/11, for example, when 3,000 slightly less than 3,000 people were killed on 9/11 2001, that really didn't hit me emotionally like so many of my friends and family. You know what I mean?
Hit me too.
That's why it didn't hit me. When you hear Carlin talk about people being killed by ants and watching it happen and not having an emotional connection to it, I share that experience sometimes. When I see one person crying over another person's pain or over anything, really, I'm moved very dramatically in moments like that, you know? If I go to a funeral, I don't tend to cry. But then if I see people being emotionally overwhelmed, that will make me cry, for example, right? And I think when I share these things with you, sometimes you feel like I lack some empathy. Is that what you're getting at?
No, I was kind of jokey hinting at it. But no, I think that what happened is it gave you pause and it gave you a little insight into your own perhaps tendency to judge. But I don't feel like I needed that. I feel like, oh God, this sounds terrible. But I feel like I always paused before I decided a murderer was a terrible person. And
you feel like you already had this in place. You consider extenuating
circumstances. And I don't think that he's saying we don't have choices. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I do feel like at an atomic level, molecular level, for I bring up that salamander experiment that I still haven't looked up and can't remember ever. But actually, cells, like salamander cells, were reassigned from, you know, being nerve cells to being different cells in the body. So if a cell can reassign, can retask itself, then absolutely, I think that there's, if that happens at a molecular level, then I think that we can absolutely make these grand changes without. I think that that's kind of what Will was saying when he said, just because I have all these ingredients doesn't mean all I can make is a burrito. Actually, Mexican food is delicious with lots of different combinations.
Ah. There's only five combinations of things in burritos.
I think that Sam Harris would be a great bloke to have around, particularly late at night when you're eating a tub of red velvet cake ice cream. Because he would make you feel a lot less guilty about that experience.
Absolutely.
Right. But secondly, I think the thing as human beings that we don't acknowledge in general is, and like I think that we have to try to do this a little bit more, is that everybody is, no one's life is as good as you think their life is. Yeah. Like, this is the problem. We judge each other by these unrealistic standards of what we think other people's lives and other people's morals are.
I call it micro moments. You see people in micro moments and make grand assumptions about how their life is.
And so we think that we're broken or that we're not right or that there's something wrong with us because people aren't. I mean, I think we're changing a little bit. Like, podcasts like this is a way where you can actually listen to people talk about the idea. But everybody, when you're on stage, like, doing your comedy, everyone in that audience probably has something shitty that is going on in their life. Life right then.
Yeah.
It might
especially
be a really big thing.
Stage.
Right. often it's that moment.
We know that you struggle with having sex with toasters. That's all I know for sure tonight. That's it for the free version of episode 44, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests Will Anderson, Dylan Brody, and Jimmy Palombi.
Yeah.
I also want to thank Sam for jumping in. Sam Kramer.
Sam.
Samantha.
And for holding me.
She makes our listeners crazy sometimes. I also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
People with brains.
These people had brains. And we'll be talking about...
Brains.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph, can't wait for Tam Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron, can't wait for Ham Winters.
He's going to Tam, too.
He wants ham, bacon.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Before we wrap up, I want to make sure everybody knows that they can get the book Laughs Last by Dylan Brody. Where can they get it, Dylan?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble online. Go order it.
All right. You can go to South America or Barnes & Noble.
And I will be selling used toasters on my website.
Where's your website? Tell them where your website is.
WillAnderson.com.au.
Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, one L and Will. What do you got, Jimmy?
Palombi Productions on YouTube. Some old stuff from my show from 1987.
Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.